Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up everybody and burn down, burn down the system. May us be exit bold. Wake up the silence.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 12. So we've got a dozen now under our belt, not quite a baker's dozen yet, but coming along really good. And, of course, the show is brought to you by Seven Star Press, Tomorrow Comes Media, and Imaginarium 2014. So, and a special shout out to Zero King for the opening music. Andy Hott, thank you very much. Love that tune, and I love those guys very much. But tonight is going to be a really cool show, and we have an amazing guest that's coming in with us tonight, Kimberly Richardson, who is just fantastic. And we're going to get to her in just a second. But right now, this is a big week because this kind of starts off for us, at least in our camp, the convention season. We got Conuga down in Chattanooga this weekend that I'll be at. And I'd like to give a shout-out to all of our friends that are going to be attending Mysticon as well. And that's going on this weekend. Andy Dean and the Bellamorte folks are going to be playing there. That's going to be a lot of fun. And it's going to be great leading into a big March. We're going to have some of our own co-hosts have some significant book releases coming up in Evansville, Indiana. EvilCon. We've got, or do they pronounce it EvilCon or EvilCon? I'm stumbling on that one.
I think.
EvilCon.
Slang for Evansville is evil, so I'm going to guess EvilCon.
You've got your debut coming up there with Old School.
Yes,
so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then that rascal. I think that rascal Alex is here with us still.
He's back.
But Southern Haunts has got a sequel that's going to be popping out with a soft launch at Mid-SouthCon in Memphis. So Alex is going to be all pumped up for that, we know. And then I know Michael's got stuff in March too, right?
There's Horror Hound, which is the big one, and then I'll also be at the author fair at that book place in Indiana, Madison, Indiana.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll be there too.
There's
a bunch of us.
Shayla will be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Frank Hall's big event, which we all love doing.
Yep.
And, of course, Frank's one of the angels of the book world. Love working with him. And actually, it's the con world that kind of brought me, in touch, of course, with tonight's guest, and Kimberly. And she is just somebody I think the world of, first of all. And I've been honored too, because I have to say up front, I have had the wonderful opportunity to be in her Dreams of Steam anthologies with my Harvey and Solomon stories. And so I've gotten a chance to work with her and be a part of the whole Dark Oak Press world, which is a lot of fun. And tonight, all the hosts are going to get an easy night, because Kimberly, as you may not know, is a violinist. And so we're just going to sit back and listen. She's going to play for the entire hour for us, and that's it.
There you go.
Have anything to worry about. But I'm sure she's going, oh, my God. But, that's the fun of being a host, because I still have her on mute, so she can't cuss me out just yet. But Dreams of Steam anthologies are, of course, from her. Of course, she is the Goth Librarian, Tales from a Goth Librarian, which was of course, from Dark Oak Press, and is finalist in the USA Book News Awards for Fiction and the International Book Awards for Fiction Short Story in 2010. And then, of course, as Alex was talking about earlier, she's got two great novels, The Decembrists and then Maybon Pomegranate, and both were enlisted for the 2013 Pulitzer Prize. And she's just got a slew of stuff, through all kinds of different publishers, of course, our friends, Sam Dot and so forth. Yeah, she's definitely a very accomplished editor and author, and so without further ado, because I know she's sitting on the line, and I am now taking her live. Welcome, Kimberly Richardson, to the Star Chamber Show.
Welcome. Thank you. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah, perfectly.
You good?
Okay, good.
So how's that sound? You play for us for an hour in violin, and we just take the night off. Does that sound good to you?
You know, as soon as I heard that, I was like, Unless if they want to hear an hour of me doing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star over and over again, that is not a problem.
Oh, and I was hoping that by Imaginarium, you're going to do an entire concerto for the Imaginarium attendees, you know.
I've had to take a break from the violin classes because I've just piled on so many projects in my life, so I told my current teacher, Diane, I was like, I'll see you in a couple of months. I got to go do that book thing.
Now, you've already gotten a jump start on the convention world because you just did a Anachrocon, correct? That's the latest one you did.
That was absolutely fabulous. Anachrocon is, I haven't been to any of the steampunk conventions out in, Portland or Seattle, but Anachrocon is one of the best steampunk conventions out there. I mean, if you don't know what steampunk is all about and you live within driving distance to Atlanta, you really owe it to yourself to attend this con. The people there are really friendly. You can learn all about steampunk, and now they're starting to talk about dieselpunk as well. And honestly, it's like the best dress con. I mean, all you have to do is just sit in a corner with a little drink and just watch the costume. I mean, they're absolutely fabulous. So I thoroughly had a good time, and I'm glad that they invited me, and I hope that I get a chance to go back next year.
Well, I'm sure your amazing series that I've had the honor to be in, the Dreams of Steam anthologies, I'm sure that was a perfect fit for that con then.
But of course.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I hope you got your email, but we are doing Dreams of Steam 5, and this one was invitation only. So it was really hard for me to choose the people that I wanted to be represented in the fifth book, but the people that I chose I know are going to do an excellent job. For all those people who are listening who did get an invitation or who have read the Dreams of Steam series, I think this one is going to be the best one yet. So I can't wait to see what people are going to be turning in.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I'm like, oh, no, my God, pressure.
Yeah, not on you, Kimberly, on us writers, because we have to live up to your challenge here. We have to come through.
Well, now, see, I'm going through my own kind of pressure, but just with other works. I did a short story for Pro Se Press, an anthology called Black Pulp, which was basically the main character had to be African-American. So I did mine. I'll kind of do a backstory. When I was little, my idol was Indiana Jones. I wanted to be like Indiana Jones. I wanted to, discover lost statues and civilizations and, fight Nazis and stuff. So I thought, I could just see this little black girl running next to Indiana Jones going, where are we going to go next, Indy? So I started writing the Indiana Kim story, which I still have. And I always tell this story. I would go to my grandparents' house. And I would put all my stuffed animals out in their living room, and I would record me doing bird noises and jungle noises. And then I would put on my granddad's fedora. I would wrap the jump rope like a whip, and I was Indiana Kim. And I would just be running all through the house, you know, searching for lost treasure, and I would write everything down like a diary. So speed up to now, my character in the Black Pulp anthology is basically Indiana Kim grown up, and her name was Agnes Meridian. And it's set in, it's the first story starts off in Memphis in the 1920s. You know, Memphis is where I'm from, love Memphis. I love the history about this city. And basically, she's like a private investigator who also dabbles in magic. Her tutor and guide is a man who's also an immortal. He basically kind of took her in when she was a kid. So he's taught her everything that she knows. And it starts off where she gets this mysterious client named Mr. O, who wants her to find a set of scales that he lost. Now, if you know your Egyptian mythology, who in Egyptian mythology had the first letter named O and had a set of scales that would weigh things? Well, it turns out it was Osiris, and his wife, Isis, were tracking down his brother Set, who had stolen scales, all this kind of stuff. And then from there, basically she's like commissioned by the gods and goddesses to help them recover things or help them with situations. So Tommy Hancock loved it so much. He's like, okay, so we're going to do this series. And I'm like, what? That was just a one-time, oh, crap. So the next book in Agnes Meridian series is going to be, right now it's Agnes, the tutor immortal Jean, and one of Jean's kind of assistants who's also French and he's also a werewolf. And right now they're traveling to London. Because apparently, and I'll see if you guys can figure it out. I'm going to just say this much. Apparently, there's a lot of murders going on in London. All the people that are being killed are men with the first name of Arthur. And that's all I'm going to say. Oh, my gosh, y'all got quiet.
I'm like,
we're in trance, dude.
I want to win the $1 million prize from Dark Oak Press on this one.
Well, basically put, I'll go ahead and spoil it because I love the idea that I came up with. I've always liked studying mythology from different cultures. And I said, okay, well, I want them to go to London, all right? Well, think. What big mythological whatever was going on with England? Ah, King Arthur. Ah, his half-sister. So I decided to make his half-sister a suffragette, since this is the royal
And
she has decided to create her own extremist group, and she's going to call them Morgan's Boys, but they're all women. And she knows that Arthur is still alive, and he's hiding from her. He didn't die like we all thought. He's still alive. So she's trying to track him down, and the calling card is basically every murder of a man named Arthur is like, I'm coming to get you. I'm getting closer and closer to you. And when I thought about that idea, I thought, okay, Morgan Le Fay, I absolutely love. I loved everything that I've read about her. When she comes in contact with Agnes Meridian, she realizes that Agnes is just as powerful as she is and wants Agnes to join her group. Agnes, of course, refuses, you know, the usual pulp thing. And with the future stories, Morgan Le Fay is always going to be a thorn in her side. She's always going to be that shadow watching over her. And then I threw in, well, since we have all this other stuff going on, let's throw in this one other character that always seems to show up when you least expect him to. And his name starts with the letter D. And he deals with prohibition. But he's also responsible for creating alcohol in the black market. Any of you guys know? I'll take the first answer. And this gentleman is essentially a gambler, a philanderer, a decadent, how befitting of Dionysus. So Dionysus is
very cool.
A part of this as well. So that's basically going to be the second book for Agnes Viridian. And I already know that when I write it, Tommy's going to be like, okay, now the next 20. It's like, whoa. I don't have that many gods, okay? So, so I've got that. And also speaking of pressure, I'm also doing a story for Pro Se Press's Asian Pulp. And the idea that it came up is this. I am very much a lover of tea. I used to be part of a Japanese tea ceremony group here in Memphis. I mean, I've read as much as I could about tea and the history of it. So I thought, well, in my world that I'm going to create, why not have tea equate with like a drug and not just ordinary tea? I mean, you've got people drinking the green and the black and the oolong and you know, the Darjeeling and all this kind of stuff. But if you really want some good tea, you go to the underworld and the underside of this city. My main character is Asian, of course, and he is a tea merchant, but he deals with this kind of tea. He's basically kind of like a Ronin. And he finds out through one of his purchasers that a warlord is somehow tied to all these people being killed off. Nobody knows what's going on. But come to find out, and yes, I'm spoiling this one as well, this warlord has discovered the way to, I either want to do it where he discovers eternal life or he discovers how to make people fall under his spell. I'm also fascinated with Komodo dragons, and I don't know if you know, but they're back.
Yeah, I love Komodo dragons. Love them.
Yeah, so
well,
you
I mean,
know
they're not snails, so, I mean, of course you would love
them.
Oh, my God.
you know that they're, I'm going to ignore that, but you know that their saliva is so full of bacteria that it can kill you. So this warlord decides to create the ultimate tea fused with the saliva of a Komodo dragon, and it's up to my character to try and stop it. So that's going to be the story for Asian Pulp. So, Stephen, I'm saying all that to say, yes, I do know pressure. and which, by the way, when I found out through Tommy Hancock that the deadline for Asian Pulp had been extended because basically everybody missed it, last night I was like, all right, cool. I already know what I'm going to do. So within like 15 minutes, I cranked out like 3 pages. I set the scene and everything, and I was like, whoa, what just happened?
Nice.
This is what happens when you get me on the radio. Now I can't stop talking.
Well, I do have a question about Tales from the Gothic Librarian Part 2. When can we expect that, and are we going to have forms
cool.
in the second one?
Well, okay. The manuscript is in my publisher's hands, Alan Gilbert, and right now he's waiting for my editor to finish working on something else so he can give it to her. I thought it was going to be out by March, but I don't think so. I do know it's going to be out sometime this year. And I will say that the stories in Goth 2 are just as disturbing as the first set.
Nice. Now, can we expect a toss-up like how you did in the first book where there's like steampunk and then horror and then also kind of something dramatic as well? Or are you just sticking with one genre really with this one?
Well, let's see here. Since, Stephen, you mentioned Mabon and Pomegranate, Mabon has really taken off. I kind of created Mabon because I'm a big fan of Charles Dullent, and I love his Newford series. And I was like, wow, you know, I would love to create a city like that. And that's what I did with Mabon. Well, because of one character that I created, I not only came up with a full-length sequel, but, like, future books that deal with that city. And a couple of the Mabon stories are actually in Goth 2. So you're going to get a mixture of the Mabon stories. One of my favorites, which I had written years ago, but I decided to make it a Mabon tale, is called Indigo Eyes. I loved writing that one. It really took a lot of my personality So when you read that one, I hope that you guys will say that is still Kimberly. That's not even funny. So I've got that. I've got, let's see, I do have one short story that's very Alfred Hitchcock, deals with tea, surprise. And let's see. And then this is the book that has the infamous interview that I did with the Absinthe Fairy when I was very drunk. I will say that on Absinthe. Oh, my gosh, nobody laughed at that?
It's because I'm imagining this, Kim.
Yeah. Oh, I am too. I'm sitting here trying to imagine all this. Yeah.
Well, you know, and you guys have probably heard the story, but the apartment building that I'm in is considered to be a historical landmark. And underneath it is a full liquor store. So it was one day, you know, I went in and I was just looking around and I said, "You guys got any absinthe?" They're like, "Oh, which brand? We got like 5. I was like, "Oh my gosh." And the owner, I think he's the owner, was like, "Well, try this one. This is the one that Vincent Van Gogh used to drink." I was like, "Really? Okay. Hope my ears don't fall off." So I came upstairs and I have my glass that I actually got from the Absinthe Museum in New Orleans. And I did it with the sugar and the cold water, and I put in one of my French films, and I turned down the lights, and I was like, "All right, this is for Oscar Wilde and all the boys." And I started drinking it, and I was like, And then, you know me, I was like, you know, throughout history, artists and creative people have consumed absinthe so that the Green Fairy would show up, and the Green Fairy would aid them in their creative endeavors. This is the 21st century. Does this woman get a break? Has anybody ever talked to this woman? So I just decided to write down this conversation, which turned out to be 5 pages long. And after drinking 2 glasses, as Alan Gilbreth, and I do say his full name, will tell you, he actually read the interview and he was like, "Wow, you didn't make a grammatical error nor a punctuation error." I was like, "Wow, that's kind of creepy." So that infamous interview is going to be in Goth 2, and you get to actually read me sliding down into the green mist of forgetting how to type. And then finally I was like, "Okay, it's time for me to go to bed." So there's that, and then just other random little short stories that I created just whenever the mood struck me. So it's basically just like a box of chocolates. I mean, you really just don't know what you're going to get with this one. But if you like Goth 1, you'll definitely like Goth 2.
Very cool.
Well, you know, you have a cell right here, so just saying.
Yeah, I got
now,
one here, too.
With
so,
yeah. Have you ever tried a cream of absinthe? It's like absinthe cream liqueur, actually.
Yeah, and what's funny is that the guys downstairs, they're like, "Oh, you want to try this?" Because apparently I'm the only person that buys absinthe from them. So they sold me a bottle, and it was like drinking liquid toothpaste. I couldn't do it. I was like, no, absinthe shall never go cream, never.
I mixed mine with ice cream and made a smoothie out of it. It was pretty good.
You know, only you. Only you. And then also, too, let's see, what else is on my plate? I am working on the sequel to The Decemberists. The working title is called The Violet Queen. And if you've read The Decemberists, the Violet Queen is going to be taken from the viewpoint of the daughter. She's now grown up. I can't guarantee that it's going to be nice and sweet. It's probably going to be just as disturbing as The Decemberists. And let's see. Oh, and which, by the way, I do have to share this story. When I was at an AcroCon, this one lady comes up, and I recognized her before. And she's like, "I just want to tell you, I love The Decemberists." And I was like, "Oh, thank you." She's like, "I didn't sleep for 3 days." I'm like, "I'm sorry?" She's like, no. It was just so good. You had me thinking, and you got me wanting to write. And, oh, my gosh, I just couldn't sleep for days. So, you know me, it was like a kid running with scissors. I kept telling everybody, buy this book, guaranteed insomnia. You will not want to sleep after reading this. Sold a lot of copies just on that. They were like, oh, I won't be able to sleep, huh? I'm like, yeah. They're like, all right, I'll try it. I'm like, yay. So I got the sequel to that. I've got the sequel, of course, Maybon, which is going to be called Equinox. Then I'm going to try science fiction. And also, too, back it up, I have an unhealthy obsession with mushrooms. Like, I'll study fungus as much as I possibly can. I don't know why, I just do. So I was reading this article about some archaeologists who found, like, mushrooms that were several million years old, and when they found the remnants, they were, like, as big as a tree. And then I read this article. I don't know if you guys read this or not, but the world's largest living organism is a fungus, and it actually lives in, like, the Portland, Oregon area. So I thought, well, what if this being is not alone, that there are several all over the world, and they're the ones that control us. In fact, they brought us humans to this planet. We're not from here. This is not even Earth. So I started rolling with that, and that's going to be years from now. But I told my mom that story, and she's like, she just gave me this look, and she's like, you didn't get that from me.
Have you read the Ray Bradbury story with, like, the alien, like, or mushrooms with, like, they're spread throughout, like, this advertisement to all the kids, seem like a comic book or something? So all the kids, like, get the Grow Your Own Mushroom kits, and then it takes them all over?
No, but that sounds really cool. Plus, I love Ray Bradbury, so I will be checking that out.
He's my favorite. I think it's, like, it goes into a couple titles, but I think it's, like, something like Grow Them in Your Basement or something like that. So it's really, it's in a lot of short collections by him.
Cool. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I will definitely check that out. So, basically, I have just 27 minutes just telling y'all what's coming up on my plate. So do y'all have any other questions?
I have one for you, Kim.
All right.
Now, at one con, you were kind enough to share your artwork with me, which I do have in my library. And I was wondering if you had pursued your artwork further or how that's going at the moment.
Oh, the photography?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Actually, I have an Etsy store, and it's called Viridian Girl Photos. And I have just a couple of photos up there. I'm still doing photographs and, you know, just posting them whenever I can. And actually, I'm gonna do a shameless plug. I don't know if he's listening or not, but if he is, you know, great. And if not, I'll let him know, hey, you were on the radio. Years ago when MySpace was all the rage, I met this photographer named David Lee Black, who was up in Massachusetts. Absolutely stunning black and white photography. We ended up losing contact, but I found him again on Facebook. Yay, Facebook. And I bought, like, one other piece. I'm going to buy more pieces from him. But if you guys want to see some excellent photography, go to his website. His name is David Lee Black, and it's just phenomenal. In fact, Alex, you'll like this. He actually did a series of photographs in an abandoned insane asylum. And the way that he did it is so creepy. I mean, you really feel like you're there.
Actually,
so,
I just found him, and I am now adding him.
Yeah.
It shows
I'm working
that I
on
have
it.
Two mutual friends.
But
fine,
yeah,
cool.
So, now with regards to my own work, yeah, well, like I said, I've just been taking photographs here and there and just kind of posting them when I feel like it and adding to the Etsy store when I feel like it. But, still doing it.
Awesome.
Well, I know everybody is just waiting for this one, but yeah, working with Alan Gilbreth and doing conventions with him, yeah, this is your chance to roast them or really get them good. So I'll give you that segue.
Well, you know, all kidding aside, I am forever grateful for what he's done for me. In fact, I like to tell the story. When I first really met him, it was at Mid-South Con a couple of years ago. And at the time, I had my little used books, and I was just kind of nervous, and I was sitting next to, you know, Kerlak Publishing. I was like, oh. And I met him, and I knew he was really big, and I got a copy of Galen, and I literally devoured it in 3 hours. And I was like, okay, where's the next one? Devoured that one as well. Like, where's the next one? What do you mean you didn't write it yet? What do you mean? And then by the end of that weekend, I sent him a copy of my manuscript, and I didn't hear anything from him for a while, and I was like, oh, he's probably going to be like, oh, that's nice, whatever. And then he sent me the email, and he's like, yeah, we need to talk. And from then on, it's been like a whirlwind. But I'm truly grateful, and I cannot thank him enough. Now that I got the Hallmark stuff out of the way, I love hanging out with him because I can be so goofy, and he'll just like roll his eyes, or he'll slap his forehead, or he'll just look at me as if to say, really, really? And he'll actually say that, really? And I'm like, no, wait, just hear me out. And he's like, really? But, let's see, like, I love pestering him about my World of Warcraft obsession. I love pestering him about the French movies that I watch, because I'll always call him after I watch a French movie, and I'm like, Alan, I just watched a French movie, and he'll be like, oh, God, why are you calling me? And I'm like, because it's cool. But, and what's funny is that whenever we go to cons, and, like, we'll just show up, if one of us shows up in the dealer's room without the other, people will ask one of us where the other one is.
Like, I've seen that. I've witnessed that many times.
Yeah. It's so funny. It's like if I get to a dealer's room first, everybody will be like, where's Alan? Where's Alan? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know where Medlum is, which, by the way, Medlum means my Dark Lord and Master. I'm like, I don't know where he is. And then when he shows up, they're like, where's Kim? Where's Kim? He's like, she's not in my pocket. You're not Siamese twins, you know. So
I'm guilty of doing that. I'm one of the many people that's like, oh, well, where's Kim? Where's Alan?
Oh, I've seen that many times. I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
That's funny. Have you seen his legendary desk of endless tasks? Have you actually seen this epic desk that I keep hearing about? Have you actually seen this?
I have caught a glimpse of it, and it's pretty, but
it exists.
It does exist. Now, to actually sit down, I'm afraid that I would suddenly want Diet Mountain Dew and would want to roll up my sleeves and talk about Galen. And they'd be like, why am I suddenly bald? I have a feeling if I sat there, I would actually turn into Alan Gilbreth. Turn this into a short story. Do not.
I was like, there's a story there for sure.
I'm kind of seeing it like this being John Malkovich motif in a way.
Oh, no.
Awesome.
No. So
being Alan Gilbert, starring Kimberly Richardson.
Well, you know, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I told Alan, I was like, you don't know when I'm going to do this. You don't know what con I'm going to do this in. But one con, I will show up dressed like you. Right down,
God.
Stocking cap on my head. And drinking Diet Mountain Dew and saying, you know,
we're doing a costume contest at Imaginarium. If you cosplay Alan Gilbreth, I guarantee that there's a prize for that.
We'll have to create a prize for that. Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Well, y'all can't plan it together, so you dress as him and he dresses you.
Oh, God. Oof. you really want to go down that route? You really want to do that?
I didn't say anything. That's Alex. All Alex.
You live once.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the artist Mark Helwig. He does all of the really cool
mm-hmm.
Cthulhu stuff. He's always at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
And he was going to show up at Memphis Comic and Fantasy last year dressed up as Alan, dressed up like the honey badger. You know, the black cat.
Oh, my God.
Black cat. Yeah, he was going to do it. But he ended up getting sick. But I was like, wow, now that would have been funny.
That would have been epic. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, at our costume contest, yeah, keep that in mind, Kimberly. That would be awesome if you could bring that out. That would be great.
Oh,
Alex,
boy.
Just hope he's not listening so it can be a surprise.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he's lurking out there somewhere. Yeah, I know him.
Oh, yeah.
He's resourceful. He's very resourceful. But, oh, my God, that is funny. The images going through my head are just, oh, my God, it's too much.
Beautiful.
But.
Oh, man.
Oh, I remember at a few cons y'all had made these puppets of you and Alan as well. What's the updates on those? Like, I know that there was a podcast or, like, a YouTube series or something that was going to come out of it.
We haven't filmed those yet, and in fact, I keep asking him. I'm like, "When are we gonna do this?" He's like, "Soon." I'm like, "When are we gonna do this?" He says, "Soon." So we haven't done it yet. I don't know when we're gonna do it, but he's been really busy. I've been really busy, and that's just the way it goes. But yes, I still have the puppet. She's still in my closet in my hallway. And I'm afraid to take her out of the bag because she might, like, turn her head and be like, "You forgot about me," or something really creepy, you know. Let my imagination run wild with that. I'd be like, "I'm sorry, I'll put my hand in you soon." I know that sounded really bad, but, you know. "I'm sorry."
Oh my God. Why do I get the feeling?
You know, every time I do these things, I get the feeling they're never going to invite me back.
Oh, don't worry. We've had mayhem in the Star Chamber before.
She obviously wasn't here last week.
Yeah. No, you got a lot of good stuff because Jory out there from Jory Loves a Story, she's tweeting up the storm out there tonight on your all your interesting information. So you're getting quite a bit on coverage on the Twitter world tonight. So, yeah.
Now,
no, that's great.
Now, Kim, I have my own story about how Southern Haunts came to be. What made you decide to bring together the Anthology of Dreams esteem to start with?
Well, actually, I remember that. It was, what was it? We were at Constellation in Huntsville, Alabama. And I was having breakfast with Alan. And I was like, "Dude, what if we did a steampunk anthology?" And he's like, "What is steampunk?" And I was like, "Oh, my God, what do you mean you don't know what steampunk is?" So I kind of told him, and he figured it out. And that's how it started. And then after that, it was just like, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So, like, apparently I was told that, excuse me, I was threatened at an AnacroCon that I better not stop with Dreams of Steam 5. So.
All right. Very cool.
Well, That's exciting
yeah.
to hear. I'm like, I'm over here geeking out, kind of clenching my fist and biting the bottom lip. I'm like, "Oh, my God. She just said there's going to be more than five, maybe. That's awesome."
Yeah.
I know. It's, like, awesome. It's like breaking news on the Star Chamber show. That's awesome. Very cool. Well, I'm happy. That's awesome. Because, I mean, yeah, I get nothing but good feedback on those every single time I'm at a convention or hearing from somebody. I mean, those are just, yeah, those have gone over really well. But,
well,
well,
it's a
you know,
introduction
I,
to what steampunk is.
Yeah, and you know, and whenever we do a convention and there's always going to be that one person that really doesn't know what steampunk's all about, and we almost automatically direct them to the Dream Sustain series. It's like, look, this is an anthology. You've got different voices, different takes on steampunk. If you don't like one story, flip to the next one. You may have a favorite. You may not, but it's a great introduction. And pretty much everybody that we've said that to, a lot of them have come back and been like, yeah, you know, you're right. Now, what are the other ones? So I'm very happy that people are happy with the series. And I just hope that people will be just as excited for the fifth one and the sixth one and the seventh one and how many others I do, and just keep going with it.
Let's
awesome.
Just keep in mind, double digits. Double digits.
No.
Yes.
Oh, Alex.
No. Hey, if you have something good, I mean, I'm just saying.
No.
Yeah, don't feel bad, Kimberly. There's many times when I talk to Alex and he comes up with stuff and I go, oh, Alex, he hears that from me a lot.
You know, and the thing is, you have to say it like a sitcom. Oh, that crazy Alex. Yeah. So.
That's Alex, y'all.
And here I thought I was the only one you did that to, Stephen.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Oh,
too
Lord.
Good, too good.
Yeah, the funny thing is, though, even though it's, oh, Alex, you know, you and I, Kim, we're practically just twisted siblings. We really, really, truly are.
Yeah, we
and
are.
And I remember the first time we paneled together. It was at Southern Fried Comic-Con down in Jackson, and I was like, okay, I really want to buy your book, and you're like, all right, well, let me see yours, and, you know, the next time I saw you, we were, like, just gushing over each other about, oh, my God, so great, and it's Goth Librarian. It has a special place in my heart because, I mean, that's the first thing I ever read by you, and it just floored me. I didn't know what I was going to be expecting out of it, and then when I sat down and started reading it, I just honestly couldn't quit reading it. And the funny thing is, you gave me nightmares.
I'll take that as a compliment because Goth 2 will do the exact same thing, if not worse.
Nice. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
I already have my coffee ready. Just saying.
Yeah, I have to say, I was stoked when I saw Goth 2 was coming out. I was really excited to see you're, you know, going to be doing more collections under that, too. Are you going to continue?
Huh?
With that too, are you planning to, Goth 3 and so forth, or?
You know, I really don't know. I really don't. I mean, I keep coming up with all these ideas, and I'm always scribbling in my journal, or writing on my blog, or writing on Facebook, or on Tumblr, or whatever. So, if I have enough stuff, I will do a Goth 3. So, I forgot. I'm working on another book. It's three novellas. One is straight literary. I'm actually kind of doing a little bit more of literary work because I read that a lot. In fact, right now I'm reading The House of Seven Gables by Nathaniel Hawthorne, and I've forgotten a lot of the story. So it's like I'm reading it for the first time, and I was like, wow, I just really like this book. So one of the novellas is straight literary. Then I have another novella, which is going to be urban fantasy, which I had written years ago, and it deals with witches in Memphis. And then the third is a werewolf story that I just kind of came up with because I at first thought, you know, werewolves, everybody does vampires. But I really want to do a werewolf story. And I remember sitting in my
They are loads of fun to do.
Well, yeah, you know, and the other day I was sitting here in my living room talking to myself, just talking out the entire story. And as I was talking it out loud, I was like, oh, my gosh, that's really cool. So I will say this, though, that novella is going to be for ages 30 and up because I was thinking of some scenes, and I was like, ooh, wow, even Amsterdam would be like, oh. No. Worse than red light. No. You crazy black woman. Whoa.
There's a tagline. This book shocked Amsterdam. Now that would be a good word.
I've just been kind of dabbling with that a little bit until Tommy Hancock was like, you know, I need that Asian pulp story. And I was like, right on it, boss. So I'm dealing with tea right now. But
And remember,
oh, wow.
A certain guideline has been sent to you for a third anthology that I'm working on. Hint, hint.
Oh, crap. Caught me on radio. Oh, I'll get right on that, boss.
One of my charms, you know, just saying.
I know. Now, you know, I will say this because I haven't mentioned it yet. You know, with between the writing and the blogging and the touring and the playing the violin and the driving my family crazy and all this kind of stuff and still having a corporate job, I still find time to play World of Warcraft. Go.
Oh, yes.
Oh, but, you know, I'll tell you something. Whenever I do panels about writing and people ask me, you know, hey, what is your process for writing? And I go, oh, I play World of Warcraft. And they always look at me weird. They're like, what? Well, yeah, I'm a gamer, first and foremost. And two, you know, for me, playing an hour of World of Warcraft is, it gets my brain ready. It turns on the twisted side that I have to turn off when I'm doing my corporate job. It's like I'm corporate. Here I am. I'm going to let a couple of things leak out to make people go, huh? But I'm corporate. When I get home and I'm relaxing, I'm like, okay. And, like, before I called in, I almost thought I was going to be late because, okay, I'm going to geek out for a moment. Okay, so, like, one of my characters, I have to talk like this. Like, one of my characters is, like, a Blood Elf warrior, and she's so cool. And she's in, like, the tarot car forest, and she's like killing stuff left and right. And the one thing, one of the many things I loved about World of Warcraft is there's like millions of people playing it all at the same time. You know, you never know who you're going to run into. So as I was running all over the place, killing these creatures and everything, this one player runs by me, and I was like, whoa, are you friend or foe? And I was like, okay, you're a Blood Elf. All right, cool. So I keep running, and then that character whispers to me. He's like, hey, there's a level 90 alliance running around just letting you know. He's been stalking me. And I was like, thanks for the heads up. I whispered back to him. So, you know, I'm running all around, and I'm like, oh, great. There's like a level 90 panda running all around here trying to kill, you know, people of the Horde. Awesome. Just what I need. And I was like, okay, remember, you got 10 minutes before you have to get on the radio. I'm like, but I'm so close to this quest, but you've got to go on the radio. But I just made it to, I just, look at all this loot I got. Okay, turn it off now. You know, that's the reason why they call it World of War crack. You know, if they could just make that into like a liquid, I'd be good to go, really. I could just see the commercial. Tough day on the job. Why don't you relax with a bowl of World of Warcraft now in strawberry? I mean, I'm just waiting for that to happen. Seriously.
Well, I've loved seeing your posts where you're cheering on the Horde and things like that. I just love those posts.
Well, you know, it's speaking of that, I don't know if y'all saw the one post on Facebook, but when I was doing my last panel Saturday night at a NACRACON, and, you know, we got asked the question, well, what do you guys do to prepare to write or whatever? So I thought about playing World of Warcraft. And I was like, yeah, you know, right now I'm playing my Blood Elf. And this chick, who's now a friend of mine on Facebook, with pink hair, she's in the back. And she's like, what? Oh, no, Alliance, baby. I stood up and made as if to pull a sword out. And I was like, oh, it's on now. And then everybody was laughing, and I said, well, guys, you remember that Mountain Dew commercial when World of Warcraft had the special edition Alliance and Horde flavors? You don't know the commercial. It's these two women that are in a grocery store. One's on one belt, one's on the other conveyor belt, And one chick puts up the Alliance six-pack, and the other girl kind of looks and then looks down as she puts up her Horde. And then she pulls out this sword, which I'm always like, where did she get the sword from? Where did she get that sword from? It's, like, bigger than her. And then they turn into their characters, and they start playing, and they start fighting and knocking over stuff. So anytime somebody does that, I start acting out the commercial, and I'm like, oh, for the Horde! I just have a pistol.
And you pull out a big sword, and they all go, where did that come from?
So, but yes, I am, in fact, I got all excited when I found out that Blizzard was putting out a new expansion. So I was like, oh, my gosh, yes, I'm so excited. Please take my money. Take it all. I don't care. It's all right. And I'm thinking that this year I'm actually going to go to BlizzCon, which I think is in Anaheim, California. Alan Gilbert has already told me, do not call me. If you try and call me, if you try and send me photographs, I will block every call you make. So, which took the fun out of it. I was like, oh, man. I said, well, you do realize you're going to have to turn that phone on sooner or later. He's like, I know. And as soon as I turn it on, it'll be like, here's me walking into BlizzCon. Here's me getting my badge. Here's me freaking out. Here's me. Yeah, that would be me right there. So I've already been told by Alan, do not send me anything or I will turn, I'm going to turn off my phone. So anyway.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my God. So speaking of cons, though, what is coming up on your schedule? I mean, as far as, like, official appearances and all that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, this weekend is Chattanooga in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I will see you there. I will see you there. Yay.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Then I have, like, a weekend off, and then I'm going to Coast Con, which is in Biloxi, Mississippi, which is an awesome con. The Gulf Coast cons are just amazing. Then I've got, yay, then I've got Mid-South Con, which is here in Memphis, and then
yep.
I've got Alabama Phoenix Festival, which is in May, huh?
I was saying we will both see you there, Stephen and I.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll both see you, Mid-South.
Now, will you guys be going to Alabama Phoenix Festival?
I'm not going to that one.
I
want to. I definitely did. I've heard great things about it, but.
Oh my gosh, those guys are phenomenal. I will always support that con. I mean, I love going to the cons that I go to every year. Alabama Phoenix Festival is just I can't even describe it. It's just way too cool. But so after that, I've got a break, and then I think my next one is Contraflow in New Orleans. I'm not sure.
Cool.
And then after that, I'm programming director for Memphis Comic and Fantasy, and that's, for me, my last con of the year. If I'm
no.
I do apologize.
One.
What? What?
Yes,
what?
You did.
Oh, Imaginarium.
Yes. Like, we'll see you in September, too.
Yeah, like, I meant
get
to
host
say,
you.
And I saved the best one for last.
Right. No, we get to host you for once, which is going to be fun. You know, our challenge is to give you a good time that weekend. So that will be a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. So, but
the
yeah,
con entirely centered around creative writing. Yep.
But, yeah, so as you can see, 2014 is already gone for me. And I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
Yeah, with what you've gone through this hour, I mean, you've got so much on your plate. I mean, I don't think I mean, you need time to get through all that, too. It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. I really am. In fact, once this is over, I'm thinking, well, do I want to go back to my tea guy, or do I want to just read The House of Seven Gables? And I'm like, oh, too much cool stuff. Don't know.
Yeah, sometimes
with
books especially, you have to think to yourself, I cannot read them all.
Yeah. Exactly. So, because I know once I'm almost done reading House of Seven Gables, and I already know the next book I'm going to read. I'm a big fan of Donna Tartt. If you guys have not heard of her, she wrote the book The Secret History, and she has this really unusual knack of writing a book like every 12 years. So her newest book just came out, I think it was last year, so it's called The Goldfinch. So I bought a copy of it for my birthday, and I said, all right, now that I have it, I'll read it when I'm ready. So once I'm done with Mr. Hawthorne, I'm going to dive into her book, and I know it's going to be really, really good. So, but, yeah, I mean, you just – there's only so many hours in the day to do only so much, but I just have fun doing whatever I do. Even if it's just looking at mushrooms, I'm still having fun.
I have seen Goldfinch around before, and I've thought about giving it a shot, but I just really haven't bought it yet. But since you are recommending it, it will definitely go into my shopping cart.
Well, for her work to get introduced to her writing style, really you need to start with The Secret History. It basically deals with a bunch of kids who are at a prep school, I want to say, who decide to conduct a bacchanal. So that's all I'm going to say. It blew me away the first time I read it.
That does sound really awesome. You have a great taste in books, just saying.
Oh, you know, I'm looking at my part of my library right now, and I'm just like, good grief. I sure do love to read.
They don't call you the goth librarian for nothing, you know.
Exactly. So, all right, so there's like 4 more minutes. Is there anything else that you've been dying to ask me or want to know? Or
let's see. I would like to know, out of all the authors ever, living or dead, whatever, if there was one author that you could just sit down and have a complete day with, who would it be and why?
Ian McEwan. I call him the god of literature. I fell in love with him with his book called Amsterdam. And when I read his well-known work called Atonement, I closed the book and I remember thinking, I've got to meet this man. That is pretty much, that's one thing on my bucket list, is to meet Ian McEwan. Of course, if I met him, I suddenly wouldn't understand English. And I would be like,
you would go into complete fangirl mode.
I would. I really would. So, but what's funny is, you know, when I met Tom Kenny, voice of SpongeBob, yeah, I did get all, oh, my God. But I was still like, hey, great to meet you. I'm a big fan. Can you please say that one line for me? Hey, Gear, how about some leapfrog? But I didn't fangirl out that much. Meeting Ian McEwan, I would definitely forget how to talk. I really would. Which whenever I told Alan that once, and he was like, I don't know why you're saying that because you're probably a bigger celebrity than he is. And I'm like, but you don't understand. That's not the point. It's like Ian McEwan, you know, British. What more do you need? Wow, you guys are never going to have me back on this show. I swear.
Oh, we are. You're
showing well. Awesome.
Now we got to give you a chance to give the any links that you'd like to throw out there for finding you real quick here.
Oh yeah, sure. Well, of course, there's www.darkoakpress.com. That's the big publisher. You can check out my blog, which is called The Nocturnal Aesthetic. I'm also on Facebook. You can either type in my name, Kimberly Richardson, or type in Viridian Girl. I also have a Tumblr page, which I think is just called Viridian Girl. Then I'm also on Twitter, which is also Viridian Girl. Can you see a pattern? And Let's see, I have the Etsy store, which is, you type in Viridian Girl Photos. And I think that's it. And if you do one of those links, you'll find all the other stuff as well.
Very cool. Well, we're about to wrap up, so I wanted to say thank you so much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure, Kimberly, and definitely going to have you back. And thanks for coming.
Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And thanks to all those who are listening. Thank you, guys. Hope you all have a good night.
Bye-bye. And next week, we will be having Crimson Heart in the Star Chamber show next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And signing off for tonight. Good night, everybody.
Night, everyone.